Thank you, Kimberly. That was dedicated to Diane and me and everyone else. I believe Diane would be here every week if she'd sing that every week. As she was singing that, I had to stop and pray for the ministries in Israel, those I've walked beside, those that are there now, that they are proclaiming Yeshua HaMashiach to the people whose hearts are still hardened and the veil is still there, but little by little, it's being lifted. And I had to stop and think about it. I've been there, Jerusalem, Bethlehem. I've been there. And from what I understand, on Christmas Day, that people flock to Bethlehem. There's a Catholic church there and so on. And probably being 7 hours ahead of us now, eight, then it is probably already taken place, but maybe still there's people there. And yet we know the living Christ that is there, and we are so thankful. Thank you all for coming this morning. Merry Christmas. Dios le bendiga. Feliz Navidad. And Rebecca, how do I say that in German? I don't know. But anyway, we're so thankful that you all are here. I was actually at a meeting, and they said, is anyone going to have church on Christmas Day? It was a group of pastors, and no one spoke up. You know what I think? Do we have to go to church on Christmas? You know what I answer? Why wouldn't you want to? So we're so glad that you are here today and that we are able to experience this together. And it's a great looking crowd, Charlotte. You just ought to turn around and look at this. It's a great group of crowd, and we welcome all of you. And we have some visitors today, and we hope that you will just come on back. But we're so glad to have you today and just believing that God is going to touch our hearts today. You know, it's been a great season as we have experienced this Advent here, and we have started out with hope, and I think I was the one that preached that day, last Sunday of November. Oh, by the way, we were in Mexico last week, and what a time we had. God just blessed your prayers for us, and we felt protected and safe, and we were able to demonstrate. And that's what it was, a year of demonstration. We were to demonstrate the love of God in many ways to the people there, in prisons, in juvenile facility, and out with the people in the colonias where it was muddy and they were very much lacking in the things that most people have, but so grateful to get a sack of beans and rice and some clothes and some toys for the children. And we're just so thankful. And again, I want to say thank you all for the Christmas at Hope. It was a tremendous, I got a text that as I was coming in, it is packed out. You wouldn't believe it. And I know that all of you that participated, you were blessed to be here. And thank you for giving those gifts. And it's just a great thing. Now, this coming week, we are going to have Wednesday night, Dinner of Hope at 6 o'clock. And then at 7, we'll start with our prayer and our groups and so on. And then let me have a word about next Saturday night, 9 o'clock. We're just now, this is not an endurance test to see if you can stay up to midnight. I mean, these youth, they stay up all night anyway. I mean, that's not a big deal for them. But we are going to come in, and we ask you to bring some snacks with you. We'll come back in here and have a festive time together. So we need some little sandwiches or those little sausages or little pizza pieces or something like that, chips, 2-liter drinks, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off with worship, and then we're going to stop and have a time of celebration in there with food, fun, and fellowship. Then we'll come back in for some time of more worship and some testimonies of what God has done in this year for you and what you project into the next year. And then we'll have a countdown right into the midnight hour. And we'll shout hallelujah and go home and get up the next morning and come here. That's why Robert said it's a little later, just trying to be a little helpful there. But like I said, we start off with hope. And then what do we have? Peace. Then joy, and then love. Well, I'm not finished yet. I've added one more. We're going to be talking about light this morning. You know, our city is lit up with Christmas lights, and January will be payday to the electric companies. Now, we did a tradition. Traditions are okay, you know, and we did a tradition last night. We left our Christmas lights on all night, you know, for the birds and the bugs and all of that, you know. They were on all night. And any of those brothers that might have got up during the night and looked out the window, well, it said Merry Christmas. But we turned them off this morning because she said, no, let's save some electricity. But light, and even in the secular sense, in the worldly sense, the lights that are lit up have a significance. It's a significance. You see, God knew that we needed light. And in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, that's all you have to know about evolution or anything like that. In the beginning, God, those four words, He created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Even in darkness, the Spirit of God was there. In darkness of sin, the Spirit of God is there. In darkness of your problems, the Spirit of God is there. He was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, what powerful words. That's what this Bible's all about, is God speaks. He is speaking. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. All He had to do was say it, and it happened. Let there be light. And it was created. The lights came on. The brightness came on. There was light. God saw the light. He said, it's good. And He divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So evening and the morning were the first day. So we have the beginning of light that was there, right there at the very beginning of Scripture. The beginning of light came. Thank God for light. I tell you, where were we? When the lights were out, and Charlotte gets up and she can't find a candle, and she's looking around and stumbling around. She said it was so dark. The darkness was there. It was so there in the darkness. But we thank God that light was created and that we have light. For many people, nights are long because of trouble in their lives. The nights are long. And they long for the first peak of daylight. There's just a little bit more hope when they've made it through that night. And there's day ahead of us. The Lord used light throughout Scriptures to direct us. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and at night a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night, He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Israel was delivered from Egypt. And they started out on this journey. Now, God didn't tell them that when all those plagues were happening. He didn't say, you know, they had to just obey and just start walking. And all of a sudden, they looked up and a cloud began to move in front of them. And then it got dark and they said, what are we going to do? And they looked up and there was a light there that was guiding them. And they followed the light. I ask you this morning, are you following the light? Have you found the light? Are you following the light? It went before them. The light of the gospel. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So He is light. It's Jesus that gives light. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So we have a concept of light coming into the world. And then even leading and guiding us and being used as a direction and to get us out of the darkness and to be able to be in the light. Darkness makes people afraid many times, but just a little bit of light is what they need. A few weeks ago, I came in here in the afternoon and I didn't turn any lights on. I just came to the altar to pray. And I was here for a while. When I started down the aisle, I kind of was stumbling on those chairs there because I couldn't see a thing. It was that dark in here. But I prayed a while, and when I got up, no lights had been turned on, but there was just a few little lights back in there, and it was so easy to walk out of here. You see, we need to walk to the light. We don't need to stumble in the darkness when there's a light that shines and we can walk in the light. Now let's go to the Christmas story. That's what this is all about and the songs were about this morning in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They lived out in the fields. I found out in Romania that shepherds is not some janitor job. These people get paid very well. They're 24/7. They get paid overtime even. It's a very well-paying job, but they live out in the fields. I don't guess they take baths or anything. In fact, they probably smell that way. Someone said this recently, and I hope you can agree, and I hope that we are doing that. They said a pastor needs to smell like the sheep. See, that we don't need to be separated to where that we're on some high tower somewhere preaching down to a bunch of crazy sheep. We're one of them too, because we all have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. And they were living out in the fields, and they were there to keep watch over the flock by night. So they had the moon out there maybe, and some stars maybe, unless it clouded over, but they still were faithful in watching those sheep that were there. And all of a sudden, something interrupted their world. I ask you this morning, has someone interrupted your world? Can you testify this morning and just take this mic and I'll sit down and you preach the rest of it? I was in darkness. I was there. I needed someone to interrupt my world because it was going downhill fast and there was nothing I could do about it. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters in my darkness and brought light to me. Hallelujah. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. It doesn't say the light came on, but if something is shining, it must have been that there was glory around the presence of the Lord as the angels came to announce. It was a shining light from the glory of the Lord. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts." So more light came, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was that the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, and the Lord made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning this child. Are you one of those like the shepherd? You can't shut them up. You're going to be a witness wherever you are. You're going to let people know that Jesus is alive. You're going to let people know that there's a reason for the hope that's within you. Are you going to be one of those? It says they let it be known what they had heard. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So they were missionaries. They were evangelists. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. You see, in Numbers 24:17, the prophecy of Balaam, way before this, years before this, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." And so there was a star that was there. And in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we have the story of the wise men. The wise men come in from the east, and they began to go to Herod, and they said, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Herod heard these things, and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring word to me, and I'll come back and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, listen to this, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. They followed the star. It went before them till it came and stood over the young child. Verse 2 says, we have seen his star. And that's what I preached this morning, his star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented to gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some Bible scholars think that there's a significance in these gifts. They offered him gold as what you would give to a king, frankincense as God with the smoke of incense, and myrrh as a man that should die, for myrrh was used in embalming dead bodies. And then they were divinely warned in a dream, Matthew 2:12, that they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. In verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So we have the story of his star, and they followed the star. Again, light to give direction. John 1:4-7. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. This morning, we are going to be challenged to do the same thing. We're going to be challenged to bear witness of the light, capital L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 8:12, Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then he changes it in Matthew 5. He has just told us that he is the light. In Matthew 5, he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. And then he says this, let your light. So we had his star, we had him saying, I am the light of the world, and now he says, your light. Let it so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. And so our light is a witness to a dark and destitute world around us. You see, it's symbolic in the fact that we have an analogy here with the sun and the moon, S-U-N. You see, from understanding here, it says the moon is extremely light-colored. It's a very light gray. It's kind of like concrete is here on Earth, about that color. Because it is so light-colored, it has little or no atmosphere to absorb sunlight, no foliage or water to absorb sunlight. It reflects a tremendous amount of the light that strikes it. It is also quite large, think about it, over 2,000 miles in diameter. I just thought it was about like that in the sky. So it makes a really good natural mirror to reflect all that sunlight. Interestingly, Earth reflects sunlight the same way, which is why when you look at the moon and you see a thin crescent, you can see the shadowed side of the moon bathed in faint bluish light called earthshine. These students up here, they can do a better job at science than I did there. But anyway, that's what some research said anyway. But it's a reflection. It's a reflection of the sun. The moon is a mirror that is reflection of the sun. Now let's put S-O-N, the Son of God. All of us are a reflection of His light. He is the light, and we're the mirror that takes it in, and we reflect it. We're a reflection of the Son of God. We're a reflection of the Lord's glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 in the New Living Translation. Now all of us who had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is